Just before we sing our closing carol, I want to just take a moment to say something just under the heading, No Room for Jesus. You may know the little story that is told about the little boy who was going to be in the nativity play, and he really wanted to be Joseph. That was the part that he wanted more than anything. But unfortunately, he wasn't given the part of Joseph, and he was given the part of being the innkeeper instead. And as you can gather from the way I'm telling this story, he wasn't too well pleased with that. So when it came to the point in the story, when Joseph and Mary come looking for room, and you know what he's meant to say, and he's asked the question, is there any room in the inn? And he replied, yeah, there's plenty of room, come on in. But the truth of the matter is that there was no room in the inn. And indeed, we're told in the passage that was read to us, and maybe this little screen in front of me is not on, so that's why I'm having to keep the look to the side of me. But there was no room in the inn. And what I want to really just get across for a moment or two is this, that is still the case, sadly, that in so many situations there is still no room for Jesus. You may know that familiar little verse that was written by G.A. Stoddard Kennedy. Do you remember it? When Jesus came to Birmingham, they simply passed him by. They would not hurt a hair of him. They only let him die. For men had grown more tender, and they would not give him pain. They only just passed down the street and left him in the rain. I was reading just the other day in one of the national newspapers about how the tradition of having little nativity plays in many schools is now sadly changing, and not for the best from a Christian perspective. Only a third of schools, apparently, we're told, now have the traditional nativity. Many schools have opted for a different type of nativity with modern cartoon individuals and Marvel heroes. And many schools, sadly, have no mention whatsoever of Jesus. And they now call their little nativity play a seasonal play or a winter celebration play. No room for Jesus. There are no shortage of things, folks, that will squeeze Jesus out. Apathy, the pursuit of other things such as money, sex, and power, the louder voice in this day and age of the so-called new atheists and the skeptics, and the tranquilizing effect of a little religion which calms our consciences and sees us through. But what I want to remind you of this is this, that our generation and the things that happen in our generation, certainly as far as these things are concerned, are no different from past generations. In every generation, the message of Jesus has always been believed by some and squeezed out by others. That passage that Yosef and Jana read for us, let me remind you of it here. I'm sorry, my Czech is not particularly good tonight. I'll stick to the English. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I basically want, before I finish, to share a little word, if you like, for two different types of people that will be here tonight and will also listen over the broadcast on the web. There will always be those who will profess faith. And as I was seeking to share with some folks earlier today, just because we profess faith in Jesus Christ does not mean that we do not have any problems. It doesn't mean that we never have struggles or fears or doubts or questions. Let me again deliberately draw these words to your attention. The name on the top of the screen, you may or may not know that name, the name Roger Carswell. He's quite a well-known Christian from England. He's a Christian evangelist. In fact, he has spoken throughout these islands and different places. Just listen carefully as I read this for you. Here's very honest words of a Christian man. He said, "I have given my life to sharing with others the truth about Jesus Christ and the hope that he brings. I believe it to be absolutely true. However, at times I have to admit that I too battle with reconciling this message with the reality of the world around us. I don't have an answer for all the whys that I ask and that people often ask me. But I do have total confidence in the character of God and his words to humankind as expressed in the Bible." I share that with you tonight, folks, because I suspect that there are maybe quite a number here gathered tonight from the community, and you have a genuine faith in God, a genuine faith in Jesus Christ, and yet, like me, sometimes there's maybe things happen in your life and in the world that make us very sad and distress us and trouble us. And sometimes we say, "Lord, why are all these things happening? And we have to hold, if you like, faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord on the one hand, and the reality that we live in a very fallen world. So that's maybe a little word for somebody. But the other thing that I want to say tonight is for those who maybe are here tonight or who are listening on the internet, who do not yet at this point make a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. You probably would be loath to say that you have no room for Jesus, but truthfully, there is little room for Christ in your day-to-day life. And I don't say that as a judgment or a criticism, but that's just the reality of the situation. There's a couple of little things I just want you to think about just before I finish. Because you may be in that situation and you may have genuine doubts and questions. You may have. Let me plug a little thing. Allow me to do this. Next March, all being well, we're having some special events in the community and here in the church. We're having a time of outreach. We call it a mission. And we've entitled it, "Where is God?" Now, I'm not going to go into all the details here, but in the middle of March, and we gave you this little leaflet, and do take it home and read it. In the second week, we're going to be meeting here in the building, and we've invited a number of people to come and just briefly tell us a little bit of their story about how they have held on to the Lord Jesus in the midst of all sorts of different situations. For example, we've invited someone who teaches at one of the universities in our province to come and to talk a little bit about the whole question, "Hasn't science debunked God?" We've invited a man from England who tragically lost his daughter in the Lockerbie air disaster, of how he coped with the fact that bad things happen in this world. We've invited a man who has spent many of his years, if you like, subscribing to the philosophy, "We'll eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die." And he came to the point in his life where he realized he needed God. We've invited someone who has experienced some very, very sad things in our troubles, and life's not fair, and there doesn't seem to be any justice. We've invited a man to come and just share a little bit from a perspective of faith of how he has tried to cope with that. And we've invited another man who was a very, very religious man and yet came to the point in his life where he realized that religion, whatever name or brand you put on it, wasn't satisfying the deepest desires of his heart. And he's going to talk a little bit about the difference between being religious and knowing Jesus. So you may have some genuine doubts and questions, and please keep those dates from the 8th to the 22nd of March in your mind, and you would be very welcome. The other thing I just want to say is this, that there is a certain urgency to the things that I'm speaking about tonight. You remember the little title that I'm hanging all of this on? It's No Room for Jesus. Some of the folks will know what I'm about to refer to here when I quote it, and others may not. There's an older hymn. We don't often sing it today, but it's a lovely old hymn, and it has the chorus like this. It says, Room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten, now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Now, those are older words, but they're actually very, very good words. In fact, the hymn goes on to say something else. Let me quote it to you. Have you any room for Jesus? As in grace, he calls again. Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow, you may call in vain. Folks, there is an urgency about these matters. Sometimes we're tempted to say, oh yeah, well, we'll think about that sometime. But there is an urgency. So I would appeal to you, as a pastor, that's what pastors do. To think about the things of God if you haven't really thought about them. And to do what I'm just now about to show you. There's a very famous picture. And I'm almost finished. It's a picture painted by Holman Hunt of Jesus, the light of the world, standing at the door and knocking on the door of the human heart. It's a very, very famous picture, and it's a wonderful picture. And it's a picture of what Jesus does with people today. He stands at the door of our lives. And if you like, he says, have you any room for me? Not just at Christmas time, not just at Easter time, but each and every day of the year. And the Bible says that if you sense that Jesus is standing, if you like, at the door of your life, and there may well be somebody here tonight, and you sense that, well, here's what you're to do. You're to open wide the door of your life. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. So folks, that's really what I want to share with you tonight. Room for Jesus. And I finish with the quoting of that old hymn, which I think is very, very appropriate. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten, now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. And I trust that each and every one of us here tonight and listening on the internet will hear the call of Jesus and have room for Jesus in their lives.